This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hi.
You were such a hooch in this movie.
I know. I was not a hooch. Nikki.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hooch. Nikki was a hooch.
Yes.
Where did you pull her from? Now, we all have our inner hooches. I'm done.
I feel like I'm in a performance of the vagina monologues. My inner hooch. You know, to be really honest with you, one of the things I loved about this character is that she was on the page, which was incredibly impressive because, you know, Louis C.K. and Chris Rock are guys, number one. They're comedians, number two. So here was this script that they wrote with these two incredibly three-dimensional, human, complicated women. I just thought that was fantastic. And so a lot of it was really on the page. Like, they wrote that monologue about being the old girl of the club, you know, and they wrote a lot of it. I mean, the smoking, all that was in the script. So they helped with me. They helped me a lot to develop that. Yeah. And Chris has been writing this script for like 5 or 6 years. So he really was clear about who Nikki was, what he wanted her to even sound like. I mean, Nikki talks in a much lower register than I do. And that was a lot. You know, that was Chris's choice. He really asked me to work on that so that I would stay sexy.
How do you describe Nikki? How did you see her? Who is she to you?
A hooch. No, I came to a little bit of a crossroads with Nikki where, like, I, Kerry Washington, am an incredibly independent, very self-reliant woman, almost to a fault, some people might say. And I realized that Nikki is the exact opposite of that, that she's actually a person who doesn't at all believe that she's capable of taking care of herself and believes that actually men have to take care of her in order for her to survive. And so I built this backstory for her, which is completely opposite from what my childhood was like, but that Nikki has always been the prettiest little girl in the room. You know, that from the time she was born, she was always, like, fawned over and provided for and taken care of, and that she never really had an opportunity to learn how to become self-reliant because people always, men in particular, always took care of things for her, and that she thought she would always be taken care of. And so I think she grew up to kind of think about her appearance as a currency of sorts, to think about her sexual prowess, her level of attraction, or her ability to attract as a currency for her to be able to get what she wants. And so that's kind of where, that's sort of, you know, that to me was the key in sort of beginning to, oh, now I know who Nikki is. You know, that she's that girl. Because it's not coming from, I'm so great, I'm so great. It's, oh my God, I need somebody to take care of me. Don't you think I'm great? You know, don't you think I'm fabulous? Aren't I fabulous? It's, you know, it's need me, want me, make me safe, you know, which, and it was important for me to capture that because I didn't want her to be the cliche of the other woman. You know, I wanted her to be a real person.
What do you think attracts him to her?
What attracts Richard to Nikki? Really? No. I don't know. I mean, I think she's fun. It's why one of my favorite moments in the movie, I think it makes me want to cry just thinking about it. It's so poignantly, beautifully acted. She does it with such economy. Is, I think, Gina's genius in this movie. But the moment on the steps when Gina Torres says, I don't know what's wrong, but fix it. It's so powerful to me because it's incredibly emotional, but so economical as an actor. And you realize in that moment, here you have been caught up in Nikki and her world and the fun, and it's dangerous and it's sexy and it's exciting, but you realize right in that moment what's at stake, what's really at stake. And you go, oh, he likes Nikki because she doesn't come with responsibility, or she comes with easy responsibility at first, and then she flies him to D.C., but, you know, She doesn't come with kids and expectations, and she's like free-spirited, fun-loving, Looney Tune. So I think that's part of the attraction. And also I think Nikki works very hard at being attractive. You know, she dresses in a way that people will look at her. She does her hair in a way that people will look at her. She does her makeup in a way that people... I mean, she wants to be looked at. which is very uncomfortable as an actor in the streets of New York City.
Gina told us that Chris was juggling the two of you between the two parts, that he originally saw you as Brenda.
Yeah.
And how did you convince him that you should play the other part?
It's so funny, because he always tells people that it's like a big deal that I didn't have to audition for this role, which I didn't. I never came in and read for it, which is a big deal as an actor. But I say that I've been auditioning for this role for 5 years, because Chris has been writing a script for about 5 or 6 years, and I guess about 4 years ago he put together a table read in New York where a bunch of actors got together to read the script out loud, and he asked me to read the Brenda role, because at that point we'd already done Bad Company, we'd known each other for really, you know, we were good friends. And I said, of course I'm going to come to your table read. Why wouldn't you? You're Chris Rock. And so I went, and I read the Brenda role, and I was obsessed with the Nikki character. I just remember sitting at the table read thinking, I have never done anything like that before. What a fascinating character. And I just thought she was written with such truth. And she was an enigma to me, that, like, you know, a puzzle I had to crack, kind of. And so I went up to him after the read-through, and I said, listen, you know, when you get this movie made, because I'm sure you will, I would love to have a shot at playing Nikki. And he laughed. He was like, ha, that's so funny. And I was like, what's funny? You know, and I think it's probably the worst thing he could have ever done was laugh, because from that point on, I was like, really? You know, like, oh, it's on. Like, I'm playing this role. And so through the years, I would always ask him about it. And, you know, what's going on with that movie? What's going on? And I guess, I think one of the things that finally kind of opened him up to the idea of it, because he was really resistant, because I just never get cast in that way, is he saw me in Spike Lee's She Hate Me. And then he was like, maybe Carrie could do Nikki.
You know, with all these guys that are out there, I mean, I should say all these women that are out there, how do guys ever come in? There's so much temptation out there.
I don't know. I think it is the same for women and men. There's a lot of options. I think it's a decision. But I'm not married. I don't know.
So I'm just relationship.
I was going to say, so how does Nikki compare to Alicia in Fantastic Four 2?
Always. I can always count on you for that. I would say Alicia is the opposite. You know, she is somebody who, because of a disability, very early on has become self-reliant and is incredibly able to take care of herself and incredibly comfortable in her skin and doesn't worry about what people think about her or how she looks or the choices she makes. That's part of why she's a support system to Ben.
Are you more at the beginning of the film when they're thinking about not being superheroes, or are you more, or do you have any scenes with Doug Jones?
I cannot answer those questions.
Do you have a bigger part than you did in the first movie?
We'll see. We'll see how editing goes. I had a bigger part in the first one than in the first one, so.
In your estimation, did Richard, did he cheat on his wife?
That's always a really funny question to me, because I don't think the label matters. I think what matters is the behavior. What matters is that he was seeking something outside of his own relationship, actively seeking something outside of his own relationship. And that's what matters. What line he crawled. It's like, to me, that's not as important as what's going on for you. Are you happy? Are you living the life that you want to be living? Are you making the choices that reflect your inner integrity? Are you creating the relationship of your dreams, or sabotaging it? You know, those are the questions that matter. The language is like, it's syntax. Who cares? That what matters is what's going on here. Is this what we want to be going on here? Are we being honest with ourselves and with each other? You know?
Some of the language in this movie is actually, it's a little over the top. And
yeah. It's very Chris Rock.
He's created strong women, but it seems like some of the language, you have to depend. I mean, it's very dependent on other. And when you're reading that, do you
like what?
Well, I mean, you ask him, are you still fucking your wife?
Yeah, I love that line.
I was going to say, I mean, like,
when are you still fucking your black wife?
Oh, that's
are you and your black wife still fucking? Actually, it's the line.
But I mean, you know, it's kind of like, well, what? you're strong, but you're still leaning on that weight. I mean, did you feel that at all?
Well, I thought that was another thing, like the smoking, that Louis and Chris wrote into Nikki that was so great. You know, it's that Malcolm X thing about, you know, that cursing is a sign of a lack of ability to articulate what's really going on for you. And so the fact that Nikki is the character that curses the most, to me, is, again, she's uncomfortable. She's uncomfortable. And so, you know, she's not comfortable kind of sitting still and being with herself and articulating herself slowly. So she goes to these, she's always with the shock value with Nikki, you know? It's like, can I shock you? Can I draw you in? Can I, yeah. So I like that. I mean, you know, I would not smoke as a character in a movie in order, like in a way that glamorized cigarette smoking, but I think it's really valuable when you're pointing out a character's flaws and weaknesses, you know, that it's a really good way. And I say that without judgment. My dad's a smoker. I smoke when in Paris. But so, you know, like it's something you do to fill a void, you know, an anxious thing. So, and I think the cursing was like that too. Although I will tell you hilariously that I love the F word, but one thing I'm very uncomfortable with, and Chris was like, okay, we're going to have a masterclass tutorial for you with the N word, because you have no idea how to say this word. I was like, I don't know what to say, I don't know how to say it. Like, there's just not a word that I use. So it was like, people were hysterical on set, because he was like, phonetically said I would repeat after him. It was very fun, because he's very comfortable with the word, as people know. So it was very funny.
Two questions for you. What role would you love to play? What, you know, in your career, if nothing else happens, what role do you really want to play? And if you could only listen to one CD for a whole year, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. Really? Just one?
Just one. Just only one.
And can't be a mixed one?
No.
Oh!
I knew that was coming.
Not fair. Oh, that's hard. That's so hard. I think it would be Radiohead, OK Computer, if I had to pick one.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
And why?
It's just genius. And you, every time you listen to it, it's different. So I think it's the one I could probably stand for a year more than any other, because it really, it's epic. It's epic. And poignant. It's like poetry, you know, every time you read it. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't hear that before. The first one, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. You know, like a pianist has their piano and a violinist has their violin, and then you sort of master that instrument. But for an actor, like, you are your instrument. And so because I'm always changing psychologically and physically and emotionally from day to day, my dream roles are always changing. You know, what I want to do as an artist is always changing. That being said, I think it'd be really fun to play Angela Davis. Yeah.
Hi, Carrie. You
Hi.
Started a movie with Jimmy Fox, and he wins an Oscar.
Yeah. Yes.
You had a movie with Forrest Whitaker.
He won an Oscar. Clearly, I am the common denominator. What can I say? I said to Chris, and also in the same weekend, the Wayans brothers won a Razzie, so I can't guarantee. I can't guarantee what you're going to win, Chris, but you will win something, because men who work with me win something. So I cannot guarantee what it will be, but I see Golden Globes for him on this one, because it's a fantastic comedy. I see at least some Golden Globe nominations for him. I'm sure it'd be great.
Have you spoken to Forrest since last week?
Yeah. Well, I saw him that night, and then I saw him at the NAACP Awards on this weekend, Friday, I guess it was, which, surprise, he won. And and yeah, I just think he's a fantastic human being. It's so deserved. So deserved.
What kind of scripts come to you? Because last year you were in Little Man.
Yes.
And The Dead Girl, and Last King of Scotland, and they're all completely different.
They're so similar. I don't know what you're talking about.
Little Man and the Dead Girl.
Yeah, it's the same character, really.
Do people see you in a certain way, or do people have a hard time figuring out, you know, coming after you for a role?
It's actually very funny. Chris was telling me, first of all, this is the ridiculous life that Chris leads. He was like, so I was at dinner a couple of nights ago with Oprah and Stedman and Sidney Poitier. I'm like, who are you? Shut up. And he was saying that Oprah had just seen the movie, and she was like, I really liked it. Who's the girl? And he was like, it's Kerry Washington from Ray. And Oprah was like, that's not the same girl. And he was like, yeah, yeah, from Last King of Scotland. She was like, that's a totally different girl. That girl. Like, she thought it was three different actresses.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to me, is the ultimate compliment as an actor. I think it's probably my publicist's worst nightmare, but that's not why I do what I do, you know? So I just like to keep changing it up, doing different things all the time. But it's hard. I had to audition 3 times for Little Man. Because Kerry Washington's not funny. Uh-huh. It's like they couldn't wrap their heads around. Like, first of all, they were like, you must be mistaken. Kerry Washington doesn't want to be in our movie. She's way too classy for our movie. And I was like, no, I've just spent 2 months crying in Uganda. I'd really love to be your movie. I had to audition 3 times. Yeah. Because they had to be convinced, and then the studio had to be convinced. And so it's interesting that I like that challenge, you know. It was the same. I think I auditioned 4 times for Ray. So, yeah.
Why did you want to be an actor? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are they different audition processes for those?
A little bit, those two. A little bit. But parts of it are really similar, too. You know, you go in, you take a deep breath, and you just try to live in the moment and the truth of the script. You know, and try to give yourself over to it as much as possible. But I remember my second audition for Ray, I read with Jamie, and I was so upset afterward because in the audition, he was so good. He had already found Ray in a way that was frightening. And I was like, oh, now I really want it. You know, now I really want this movie. So, yeah.
Do you have anything lined up besides Fantastic Four? Do you have anything you're about to shoot or that you shot that might not be
new? Not that I've already shot, but I have 2 films that I'm shooting this year. I can't really name them because we're closing the deal on both this week, but one is like a very dark, gritty, independent film, and the other is like a action thriller. Yeah.
Why did you want to be an actress?
Because I'm crazy. You know, it's crazy. It's one of the only unions in the United States where over 90% of our members are unemployed at any given time. It's like, unless this is a calling, stay far away. and I actually feel, and this is going to sound hokey, but I actually really feel like acting found me. You know, like it really has. It's just, every time I think, you know what, I think I'm really done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go move to Brazil and teach yoga and have a sheep farm. Like, that's what I think. And then I get a delivery with a script called Unchain My Heart, which was later called Ray, and I go, oh my god, nobody can play this part but me! And I'm pulled, before I know it, I'm seduced back in, you know? So, it won't let me leave, as painful as it is sometimes. But I also really, really love what I do. It's the total love-hate relationship.
You had to like the outfits in this movie, huh? The wardrobe. No?
No. Do you want to hear something really funny? I always keep something from a character that I play. Always. Like, Little Man, it's these fantastic Prada boots. It's either, like, wardrobe or something from my house. From The Last King of Scotland, it's this beautiful Ugandan vase. I mean, I still have a coat from Save the Last Dance. I always keep something. I kept nothing at Nikki's.
Really?
Nothing. Because it was really uncomfortable. I don't dress that way. I mean, I just did an interview for Women's Wear Daily in New York, and they were like, it's so weird to see you in these clothes, because on the red carpet and in your life you're always so kind of conservative and classic, which is true. I mean, I would be in fittings and I'd be like, okay, this is about as much as I can do, and Chris would come in and go, tighter, shorter, and I was like, ah, what do you mean? Like, I was so freaked out, and I had like layers of those plastic silicone cutlet things that you buy at Victoria's Secret to be like, it was just so funny. Yeah, I mean, it was not the most comfortable for me to be, like, walking in the streets of New York looking like that.
Okay, maybe I told off on myself.
Yeah, but clearly. But they were beautiful. They were beautiful. Yeah, they're just not me.
What did you keep from the dead girl? Did you keep anything?
I did take something from the dead girl. Hold on. Oh, it was like a tchotchka from the room. And a picture of Brittany and I that we actually took together when we were driving around Hollywood talking to real-life prostitutes. And one of them took a picture of us together, so I have that It was framed in my room in the film, but I took it with me.